Hi, this is Alan McNish, and you're listening to F1 Weekly.
There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
Know you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Faub, my co-host. Nasser Hamid will be bringing us Motorsports Mondial in the second part of the show. This is podcast number 351, June 3rd, 2009. Stephen?
This F1 Weekly podcast brought to you by the Jim Russell Rotax Challenge and Marin Karting. Check them out. You know you want to.
Thank you, Stephen. And, of course, we love the Northern California Rotax Challenge. On today's program, will Turkey surprise? BMW brings a double D diffuser. Red Bull out to spank some brawn booty. And, of course, another outstanding quality Motorsports Mondial with Nasser. I mean, we had a lot of racing this weekend. Steve, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Great. How about yourself, Mr. Rudd?
I'm absolutely wonderful. Summer, California heat, dry heat, thank goodness.
Yeah. Been warmer. Been mildly warm last week or so. Been in that mid-70s.
Absolutely.
Absolutely wonderful.
The global warming has not reached Northern California just yet.
Just yet.
But anyway, there you have it. FOTA has signed up, and everybody else east of the Poconos seems to be signing up for Formula One as well.
Should be really interesting to see who the FIA decide are
exactly
usable, because what we've got our existing 18 entries.
Then we've
got to be like six or eight now.
I don't even know all the names.
Other teams that are,
but I think Max has a way of choosing which ones he wants, and I have a funny feeling it. It includes the dungeon.
Yeah, I was thinking, he who pays his tab, or something to that effect, maybe. But, you know, we've got even a couple of manufacturers stepping up, being Lola as one. But
well, we have Lola. We have Team Superfund Cosworth. We have ProDrive Mercedes. We have Campos Meta 1. And, of course, USF1 Cosworth, we're just assuming right now that a lot of these are going to go with Cosworth. I don't know why ProDrive seems to believe they've got a Mercedes deal, because it's really not in the bag, especially with Braun GP, Force India.
Yeah, I think...
And McLaren.
Yeah, I think that's kind of a holdover, possibly, because when he was looking to come in the first time, 2-3 years ago, whatever it was, he had pretty much sewn up a deal with Mercedes, but decided that he didn't have the backing to actually put a car on the grid. I'm not sure why he thinks he does now either, but...
Not sure what's going to happen there. He was expecting, the story was last year, McLaren chassis and Mercedes, basically,
yeah.
A McLaren.
Yeah. So it was the customer car row, that's what it was.
Exactly. So we'll see what happens with ProDrive, because, like you said, all of these teams, there isn't enough room on the grid for all of them to make it.
No, this isn't NASCAR.
No. So there you have it. We'll see what happens there. I think the biggest story is Toyota actually signing up and not saying hasta la vista, baby, to Formula One. Because the big news today came out that they are withdrawing Fuji for the 2010 World Championship, because they own that track. That means they have to pay for a lot of the goodies, all the dignitaries and the Toyota employees that come. And there's a lot of expenses. They just can't afford it.
Yeah, and I'm not surprised knowing that, they don't have to write Bernie a check either.
Exactly. And this is in Toyota, the Japanese don't like to ever admit they're losing money. And Toyota, of course, we know is their first year ever in 70 years of business to show zero profit. So we'll see what happens. But if they stick with Formula One, I think it's good for all of us. I hate to see any teams leave.
I hate to see any teams leave. And I found it interesting, the statement coming from FOTA in regards to, you know, basically going, hey, we're agreeing to race in 2010, but we want to race 2009 rules. And don't try to, you know, I love the line about good governance of the sport. It came up in their statement like three times.
Yeah, fascinating. And of course, the big date now is June 12th, where the FIA have to announce the teams for the 2010 World Championship. But not only that, but there's still lots of gray area in the car building rules for next year.
That's true. A couple of them in regards to motor life and transmission and gearbox life, I believe both of those were supposed to be extended in 2010, so it'll be interesting to see. Actually, I would just love to see them race two seasons in a row with the same rules.
That would be really interesting, wouldn't it?
Or you know, just very minor tweaks. It seems like every year that, you know, in the last five, it's been relatively major changes that basically require full redevelopment of a car. And that, you know, if you want to save money, stop tweaking the sporting regs.
I not only that, but I'm surprised Ferrari, Renault don't ask or simply demand that if they're going to sign up for this series, that the rules have to stay consistent for 5 years at a time, at least.
Yeah, or at least something to that regard. You know, something. Or, well, I did notice that FOTA wants basically veto ability on any rule changes. So that should be interesting to see. But, you know, if Bernie really wants to cut costs, then tell your rules writers to step back and not completely change the regs every year, and you'd save a ton of money.
I agree. We'll see what happens. But the constant tweaking of the rules is nerve-wracking, to say the least. And I don't think it's good for the sport, period.
No, and I'm also hoping that they stick with 09, because one of the ones I think for 2010 was the dropping of fuel stops, or basically...
Fuel stops are out for 2010, for sure.
I don't like that.
I don't like that either, but at least they're
still having two stupid tires.
And we've had seasons in the past that have been pretty exciting without fuel stops. You quickly acclimate to these changes.
Yeah, it becomes more about the tire change. So you still have, as long as there's pit stops, I'm probably happy. But, you know, if we eliminate pit stops, then what? There's nothing to possibly facilitate a lead change.
Not only that, but I think if they, now that we are not going to have fuel stops, I think we should bring back another tire manufacturer and have a tire war. More goodies, not less goodies.
Yeah, something. Please.
Anyway, there's also good news for moi and my people. Apparently, the Prime Minister, who is a Formula One fan, is really trying to get this going and possibly bringing back Manicourt. And, of course, Paul Ricard is on the table, because it's a great facility. It just needs a little upgrade, that's all. And Bernie owns it, so he can write himself a check.
Yeah. Ooh. No, he wouldn't write himself a check. He'd get the people of France. He'd get France to pony up the money to upgrade his track.
But, I'm pretty excited about it. Prime Minister Fillon indicated that getting money cool, it's already built. It's a nice track. I don't care what anybody says. I enjoy watching races at Manicourt.
Yeah. Well, it's the only stop on the calendar where we've seen anybody try, you know, a three-stop strategy and win the race.
All we need is a big hotel.
Yeah.
One massive one. Or get Walmart to build it.
A couple little ones.
I don't know. It's annoying, you know, because I think it's a nice racetrack. It's smooth. It's sanitary. So it smells of dung every once in a while. A couple of corners. I think... I don't know. Let's bring back the French Grand Prix. I mean, it started in France.
Yeah.
Who's in charge?
The other thing, too, is that Manicourt's not the only track in France.
There's plenty of tracks.
And most of them probably wouldn't need that much infusion of cash and upgrades to make them Formula One capable. Paul Ricard is a key example. All that you probably really need at Paul Ricard are grandstands.
I agree. Absolutely. So... I don't know. We'll see what happens to that, but I'm hoping it happens, because if Formula One without a Grand Prix de France is nothing.
It's lesser.
I agree.
Than it should be.
Anyway, so McLaren finished 12th, Mr. Hamilton, in Monaco. And, of course, a 1-2 finish for Braun GP. What do you think Mercedes feels like doing right now, Steven?
Putting a lot more money behind Braun.
Not only that, but they want to put that big logo, that star. Because they're not getting any advertising out of this.
Other than every time they're announced at the podium and stuff.
Button's engine won 3 races in a row. That's impressive.
Yeah, very.
And Mercedes should be, I mean, that marketing department has got to be just dying to get involved.
Well, since they are getting, their engine is in the car, they really ought to be able to get their logo on the car, or at least, you know, Mercedes-Benz written on there.
Nope. Right now it's just a customer engine deal.
Oh, so
they don't have that kind of a deal.
They're paying for the engine, so.
Exactly.
I'm sure Ross could work him a deal.
I'm sure, but there's going to be big buckos, because pretty soon they're going to have to pay Jenson Button a lot of money. All of a sudden, Jenson Button, who was...
He's going to Ferrari.
Is that where they all go? Anyway, Nasser just walked into the studio. Apparently, the traffic today in California was tedious at best. Nasser, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Well, you mentioned the traffic. I'm like the Brian Ferry song saying, you know, drifting through a world that's torn and tattered.
I love Brian Ferry.
Me too. But surviving. Happy Good. To be here, and hello Good. To everybody.
Good. You're prepared for Turkey?
Turkey? No, I'm prepared for Le Mans. Moi is going to
That's
Le Mans.
Right. Oh, my God. Yeah, and that is going to be exciting.
Yes, and how is the Pompidou of broadcasting doing today?
The Duke of Dijon is doing pretty good, and everything's going to be just fine. I'm excited to watch the race this weekend, even though it's a little bizarre. It's scheduled once again. At first, I thought it wasn't on Speed Channel. Now it is on Speed, but then it's going to be aired again on Fox. The next 3 races, ladies and gentlemen, are Fox races for the regular folk in America. Does anybody know what's going on?
Well, yeah, I'm happy to see that they're going to go and get some broadcast time, but I'm also happy to see I'm hoping that you're correct and that it will run at its normal time in the morning for us.
It's been very confusing. I've been on our forum, F1 Weekly Forum. If you've never been there, go check it out. Lots of information. And when I need a question asked, that's where I go, to the forum. And there's some confusion whether it is going to be live. Some say it's going to be on at 8 a.m. in the morning in the U.S. and then replayed at 3 for the regular folks. So I'm totally confused. Some of us are going to have to do some investigation.
I have to check my satellite when it comes back up.
Yeah, because the next 3 races are Fox races. That means Turkey, Silverstone, and I believe Germany is the following race.
How did they manage to miss out on Monaco? They usually always get Monaco.
No, they couldn't. They didn't want to pay for that one. Turkey is a lot cheaper than Monaco. Trust me.
You can just go
it's
for
kind
the leg.
Kind of like, you know, caviar versus turkey.
Yeah, Turkey, you can just go for the leg and give that gravy.
Exactly. Monaco is going to be Chateaubriand every day. Brutal. Anyway, speaking of Toyota, who signed up, BMW, there's some talk in the back, you know. Dismal season so far. They're bringing back the double D, double decker diffuser. And I'm not getting confused here.
Exactly, yeah.
Careful. But they've got to put some numbers on the boards.
They definitely need to have a good showing. Hopefully, having a double decker, having a trick diffuser will make a difference for them, and so they can get back on the field. They were abysmal in Monaco. That is the worst performance I think I've seen by a BMW car ever. And the other real surprise too was Toyota was so
pathetic.
Yeah, in Monaco too. I was like, what's going on? Did somebody, you know, they've been out partying too much or something?
I don't know, but Monaco is, you know, sometimes the exception to the rule.
Yeah, well, it's a very difficult track to be quick on because you really need lots of downforce and good traction out of the corners. And if you don't have that, you're going to have a long day.
And obviously, it's been proven that the diffuser alone is not the answer.
No, we're looking at the bronze. We know the bronze is a solid package. They've basically, by winning in Monaco, they've proven that they can basically run on the fast tracks. Basically, the only reason they didn't win in Malaysia was because of the rain. But they were competitive. And, you know, what, they've lost one race all season, so, you know, can tell that they're fast. pretty much everywhere.
You think the BMW will get a podium this year?
Oh, it's going to be tough. They've got to really show some gains because they haven't. At this point, I'm wondering, are they going to score any more points?
Not only that, but are they going to bring back their...
are they going to be able to re-sign Kubica for next season?
No, not only that, but the Kurs system. They were so pro, and as far as I'm concerned, I know Flavio Briatore is not too happy with Kurs. He'd like to see it go away, but it's mandatory next year. Very few teams are even running it. We've got new teams coming in.
Yeah, who's going to make the bucks on Sullivan? Because
I'd Mercedes?
Be, if I were somebody like Mercedes or Renault, I'd be trying to develop the crap out of it so I could sell it to people.
Exactly. Nass, do you think BMW will be on the podium this year?
I think they will manage a podium or two.
Now, if you look back, they would have had a podium in Australia were it not for the little schlamazel with Sebastian Vettel.
But they've slid down. Slippery slope.
Exactly. That was really their best showing of the season.
For me, it's Ferrari who's made some dramatic steps forward.
Yeah, definitely. You know, being 2-3 or 3-4 in Monaco, huge leap for them.
Yeah, Renault baby steps. Some, you know, Fernando finished 7th, but still, I expect a better finish in Turkey for Renault. Because the Red Bull Renault is doing so much better.
Yeah, exactly. And not only that, but I think for Renault's been consistent so far this year. They've been basically lower top tier. They just can't seem to find that tweak to get them over the top. But I would expect to see Fernando get at least two more podiums this season, maybe even squeeze out a win. He's going to need some help like he did last year where somebody's going to have to make a mistake to kind of give him to open the door for him. But Renault should do well for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I mean, Force India has done some great leaps and bounds so far. They look pretty good.
Yeah, the next question becomes is can they carry that on to a faster track? They haven't been very competitive at the, you get them on Monaco, like we say, Monaco is such a different animal. Get them back in Turkey, see if they can get out of Q1 in Turkey, and then we can kind of say they've made a good step forward.
And of course, Mark Webber saying that this is the year he's going to get a win, his first win. And I really hope it happens to the guy because I think he's a pretty consistent driver, even though he admits that, the cage rattling. I think it's been, it's there, but it's not as bad as some of us thought it would be. I think Mark Webber's doing a pretty good job in keeping up with young Vettel.
Yeah, and I think he's kind of been in that seat before. He was kind of there when Nico came in and was kind of, shaking the cage. When he first came up, and I think so Mark is not overawed by the fact that he's got a younger teammate who drives well, so he's able to step up to the task. I would seriously expect to see him win one. I would expect to see Red Bull win one or two more, at least two or three races this year, the way they've been going so far.
I agree. It's going to be a Red Bull-Braun battle again this weekend. I guarantee it.
Yeah, especially the faster track, I think, is going to suit the Red Bull so much more than Monaco did.
And quickly, of course, Kimi Raikkonen did another rally this last weekend. I thought it was pretty exciting stuff. And, of course, I didn't see any film. But unfortunately, he crashed out in the third stage in the Rally de la Marca. But apparently, reading further, I found out that he had a differential problem. And it wasn't driver error, but mechanical issues that caused it.
He didn't really crash out. He basically just failed to finish.
Well, he hit a big stone wall, which is a big bummer.
Ah, yeah,
the little Fiat Puntos and stone walls is just knocking out. Yeah.
Don't mix up very well.
So I'm happy that he's having fun because I heard that he gets free ice cream on these rallies, which is really important. And apparently,
you probably give him a really big bottle of Finlandia at the end of the weekend.
Well,
too.
Of course, and he's got more rallies coming up. So he's going to keep training because I have a funny feeling he's been talking to the other Finnish rally drivers, and we have so many. So pretty exciting stuff. So we're going to take a quick break because I know we've had a lot of racing weekend and we have a maxed out Motorsports Mondial. So we'll be back after this brief message.
Are you between the ages of 8 and 80 and want to experience the thrill of wheel-to-wheel racing for yourself? Do you want a hobby that you, your family, or group of friends can share? The Jim Russell Northern California Rotex Challenge Series, sponsored in part by Marin Karting, is the fast-growing Northern California series of the Rotex Max Challenge USA and can lead to an FIA-approved world championship. Rotex answers your dream of racing. With a reliable engine that's sealed, keeps carts on the same level playing field, your operating costs low, your fun level high, and your skill determining your success. Be your own number one driver as part of the Jim Russell Northern California Rotex Challenge Series. Race on to NorCalRotex.com to learn more. And see MarinCarting.com for Rotex engines, parts, and accessories.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and Nasser Hamid.
Greetings and racing regards from Great Plains to Simmons Plains. And Mr. Rogers, I am very pleased to tell you that thanks to you and F1 Weekly and courtesy of ACO, the organizers of Le Mans, Moa has been granted media credentials for the 24-hour race. So I am really excited.
Nobody says no to F1 Weekly anymore. Those days are behind us, Nasser.
Really?
Yeah, except for Bernie.
Yeah, exactly. We'll test him in November.
Exactly.
Okay? And you know the song Walking in L.A.?
One of my favorites.
Yes, Moa will be walking in on Mulsanne, and I'm really, really looking forward to it.
Maybe we could get Eric and Nicole to...
write a song, Moon Over Mulsanne?
Exactly.
There you go. Maybe she'll do Moonshine Over Mulsanne.
Something.
Or coming from the south.
Skirt in Mulsanne, I don't know.
You know what? My friend, Mr. Peter Nygaard of Grand Prix Photo, he will be there also with his 15-year-old son. And he sent me an email that on Friday night before the race, there's an AC/DC concert in Stade de France. So, you know.
You want me to get you press credentials for the AC/DC concert?
No, I may just show up if I'm in the mood okay. And if I'm not too tired.
Excellent.
Yeah. And, you know, I'll tell you, small world we live in, I have a...
He's asking permission to expense it.
Oh, yeah. AC/DC. We'll zap out those zero checks right away.
Exactly.
But anyway, an old friend of mine, Mr. Taz Harvey, I've known him for over 20 years, and a big racing fan. He used to race in Speed Vision Challenge, which now is called Speed TV, and it's a Honda dealer, Mazda dealer. And, you know, small world, I mentioned to him that I'm going to Le Mans. And he says, well, I'll put you in touch with my friend I know, so-and-so, and she lives there. We went to school together. And turns out this lady, who's American, she has been living there for 20-plus years, has worked in media relations with FFSA, your country's organizing committee, and right now is working with the sports car team. So I got in touch with her, and she said, if you want to get in touch with Lafitte and Arnoux or any of the old French car, no problem. But she did tell me that Guy Ligier does not speak English, and that was one gentleman I wanted to talk to. So Guy is out of the picture now. But I'm hoping that she can put me in touch with Lafitte and René Arnoux, and that will be great. You know, the first question to René Arnoux will be, He's off!
He's back again!
He was the man, of course, with Gilles Villeneuve. So we'll see, you know. A lot of other things are going on in the background, and hopefully I shall be able to come back with a lot of interviews. So I must say that the future of F1 Weekly is so bright that we might even be able to take a taxi to Timbuktu.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, because you know, if they ever find oil there, there'll be a Grand Prix there too.
Yep. And it sounds to me like you're going to get some fantastic interviews and probably some free food.
From who?
From all of these wonderful folk. A little fromage.
There is no free lunch, whether you're in America or Alsace.
Trust me.
I've tested that. Okay, we'll see, but I'll keep you posted. Onward and forward to Motorsports Mondial. Today we will drift from Formula 2 and 3 to MotoGP and the Monster Mile in Dover.
Tire fire?
Yes, absolutely. You were talking about earlier in the show about tire competition. That's called tire fire.
Well,
Bridgestone versus Michelin.
We got an email last week saying that we're not saying or talking or discussing the tire fire industry.
Yeah, but you know, there are so many You see problems they're having in NASCAR with Goodyear tires everywhere?
I didn't know. I'm sorry. I'm not in the know. Well, when it comes to NASCAR.
Yeah, a lot of issues in the classic.
Really? Lately?
Good yeah, things. Again.
Maybe Michelin should come in. The Michelin man?
Yeah.
You know, drinking a Pabst Blue Ribbon?
Thank you, Clark.
Isn't Firestone there?
Yeah, Bridgestone. Firestone's owned by Bridgestone.
Okay.
And anyway, so we shall start with the rebirth of Formula 2. But the rebirth of Formula 2, Max Mosley's idea of a Formula 1 feeder series for less than $500,000 became a reality in Spain on Saturday at the Ricardo Tormo Circuit in Valencia. And Moa was, thank you Robert Wickens, Moa was on top of things when I said this kid is going to do very well.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Thanks for that. Make it be a liar, kid.
Yeah. Yeah. Kimi Raikkonen let me down big time last year. Almost made me
eat a crow,
yes. Who saved my day? Timo Glock. Timo Glock saved my day. But anyway, no surprise in qualifying in race 1 and 2. Robert Wickens, Pronto from Toronto, was the man in charge, winning both races from pole position. A very international podium in race 1. Carlos Iaconelli of Brazil was second, and third was Kazimieras Vasiliauskas from Lithuania. Now, I don't know about you, Mr. Rogers, but I don't know much about Lithuania, but I am told fish there is very good, always Baltic fresh.
That's good news.
In England, it's Balti fresh, but that's another story.
Okay.
Peter,
thanks for the pun.
Peter Brazier will explain that to you. Now the fate of drivers with famous papitos. I don't know if I should feel sorry for the papitos or for the drivers.
I feel sorry for the papitos.
Really?
Oh, absolutely, because I saw that Henry Surtees wasn't doing so well, and I thought about you and other drivers.
Yeah, okay. Henry Surtees was seventh, but then again, it's only the first.
And seventh isn't that bad.
Yeah, Henry Surtees was seventh. Alex Brundle was eighth. Jolyon Palmer was the last car running in 21st position. His papito, Dr. Jonathan Palmer, is also the organizer of the championship. So, but I have to say, you know, everybody laughed at Max Mosley when this series was announced, but they've done a very good job, and I hope this series becomes successful.
I do too.
Race 2 saw Wickens finish ahead of Mirko Bortolotti of Italy, who I think could be a cage rattler in near future. He won a lot of races in Italian Formula 3 last year. And then, you know, if you finish in the top 3 in the Italian F3, you are given a day in a Ferrari Formula 1 car, and apparently he put a lap at Fiorano faster than Kimi Raikkonen. I don't know the tire setting, fuel setting, blah, 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 but it made good press. Philipp Eng of Austria was third, and this is the kid who once upon a time won the Formula BMW World Finals, but since then things have not been very good for him. Low-cost Formula 2, which requires a budget of under $500,000, should have seen a couple of American drivers, courtesy of USF1, in my opinion. And that's just a personal opinion, you know. Somerton, Edwards, or Rossi to help them prepare for smooth sailing across the pond when they get into F1. What say you, Mr. Rogers?
Absolutely, I agree, but...
You know, USF1 has lodged a team. You have something to say?
In USF1's defense, I think they may have gotten started a little bit too late to get a driver into F2.
No, but there are other series also.
And
money will buy you a seat any time of the season. Yeah.
But yeah, there should be somebody, should be more Americans racing in foreign in the European circuits if we expect to be competitive when we put drivers in cars
in
Formula 1.
Yeah, putting a kid in Formula 1 as their first foray on the European continent is, you know, setting them up to fail. That's not the right way to go.
Well, I have a funny feeling that Peter Windsor settled on Danica. He's pretty excited about
Danica. I'm sorry, but even the Indy drivers don't have enough experience on the European track
she's
to be
one
competitive.
She's one of the few that have raced in Europe, so I'll give her that much. I'm trying to be nice, Nasser.
But she only raced in England, didn't she?
Correct.
Yeah. So she's got one track. And she was homesick the whole time.
Was she?
That's what she said she came back to the States was because she was homesick.
Oh, wow.
But I heard she eats a lot of fish and chips now.
Was it Concorde or DC-10?
By DC-10. She was only in feeder series.
Okay. And what did you say, sir? She likes what?
Fish and chips.
Oh, really? With tartar sauce?
Mm.
Okay, moving on to Formula Master. They were also in Valencia. Swiss driver Fabio Laimer again won the opening race of the weekend on Saturday. Josef Kral from Czech Republic was second. Paul Warhaug from Norway was the top rookie in fourth. Alexander Rossi from Northern California was seventh. He is bringing the car home each race and staying in the game, which is always good. He was very impressive in the pole race. Street race, a really tight race, street race. So it's good that, you know, you have to finish first to finish first. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do know.
What is it? You have to first finish before you finish first.
Well, I guess there's one American racing in some European circuits.
Yeah. And race two winner was Kasper Andersen of Denmark. Rookie Paul Warhaug was second. Alexander Rossi was 12th. And Paul Warhaug is a rookie from Norway. He's doing very good. He's regularly on the podium. And who knows? He could be a cage rattler too. Things change in motor racing very quickly, let me tell you that.
I noticed that.
Yeah. Okay, Patrick Head of Williams Formula One team was team presented the trophies as his company designed and built the F2 machines. And I am told I was too tired to get up and watch it at 4 or 5 in the morning. My understanding is their races can be seen on the web also.
Correct, they stream live on the Formula2.com.
Yeah, and one of these days when I'm feeling a little bit younger, I'll get up and watch the Formula 2 race also. World Touring Car Championship, third flavor of the weekend in Valencia. Race one was an all-Seat podium with Ivan Muller winning over Thiago Monteiro and Gabriel Tarquini. Monteiro from Portugalistan, Tarquini from Italia. Race two saw first win of the season for BMW with Augusto Farfus, who is from Brazil. Jörg Muller from Germany was second, another BMW, and Tarquini was again third for Seat. From World Touring Cars to British Touring Car Championship from Alton Park. Colin Turkington was the winner in race one at the wheel of a BMW 320 SI. Jason Plater was second in a Chevrolet Lacetti. It will be interesting to see now that JMS officially fired BK what will happen to their racing programs worldwide.
We'll see.
You think they'll stay in NASCAR?
I think they will stay in NASCAR because they have to.
Very true. Race 2 was won by Turkington and Vauxhall driver Fabrizio Giovinardi was second. Race 3, James Thompson was the winner in a Honda, followed by Andrew Jordan in a Vauxhall. Formula Renault UK were also in action at Alton Park, and this track is a very beautiful track. If you watched photographs of this track, really very, very nice. And I'm pleased to report F1 Weekly friend and listener Harry Tinknell finished second and fifth in the two races and was the top rookie in both events. Tinks has promised me he will take care of F1 Weekly when he gets to the promised land, which is, you know, Formula Uno. So we're hedging our bets with different drivers, you know.
There you go.
Hopefully one of them will make it and then remains to be seen whether they will. Our emails to them will bounce back. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
Okay, now we go to F3 Euro Series from Lausitzring in Deutschland, Uber Alles. Winner in race one was Jules Bianchi of France. Very impressive rookie from Finlandia, Valtteri Bottas, was second after starting from pole position in only his third F3 Euro Series race. And that's what I'm talking about when you talk about racing talent. I mean, I did not even know about this kid till Olivier Mienu told me over dinner last August, and I said, who is this guy? He said, oh, he's in Formula Renault European Series and doing very, very good. Definitely a cage rattler. Jean-Carl Vergne was the second Francais on the podium in third. Jake Rosenzweig, only American in the field, was 21st, but running at the end. And this is the kid from East Coast who was also in Formula Renault, and I don't even think he was ever in the top five. He was barely breaking into top 10. And in 1 year of Formula One, after 1 year in Formula Renault, he has jumped to F3 Euro Series. Better would have been German F3 or British F3. So, you reap what you sow.
Exactly.
In race two, local driver Christian Fitores scored his first F3 Euro Series win. Second was Roberto Meri of Spain. And Sam Bird landed on the final podium spot in third. Adrian Tombe, son of Patrick Tombe, was 7th. DTM, German Touring Cars, also at Lausitzring. Matthias Ekstrom started from pole in his Audi, but had to settle for 3rd on the podium. behind race winner Gary Paffert and Bruno Spengler of Canada. Both were driving AMG Mercedes C-Class 09 cars. Ralf Schumacher was 10th behind Matthias Lauda, another of those. Don't know if I'm feeling sorry for the Papito or for the son. Lausitzring is located in eastern part of Germany and is the track where Alex Zanardi had his horrific accident in 2001.
I see that the new car isn't really helping out old Ralph.
What will help Ralph, you tell me?
How's Catherine Legg doing?
She is in the same company as Ralph. And I am told that if you don't have the latest car, it's very hard to win. But again, you know, you have drivers like Matthias Ekstrom, Tom Christensen, Alexander Primat was there. I mean, these are pretty tough hombres.
No, it's not an easy race at all.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at, like, Grand Am American Le Mans here in the U.S., I mean, you have Mika Salo driving, Jan Magnussen driving. I mean, these are quick drivers even now. So it's winning is never easy, boy.
Keep up the good work now, sir.
Okay, sir. Now we go to British F3 from Rockingham. Emotional win for English driver Nick Tandy. Victory coming weeks after older brother and team owner Joe Tandy was killed in a road accident, which was very sad. His friend also was killed in the car. Victory is the first for a British driver in British F3 this season and also ends the Lara 16-race winning streak. Tandy drives a French Mégane, pole sitter from Australia. Daniel Ricciardo was taken out in a first-lap tango with the Wrangler Wander Zande. And this kid, Daniel Ricciardo from Australia, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, finished a very close second in the Formula Renault Series Europe last year to Valtteri Bottas. So a lot of talent coming up from all parts of the world, you know, which is good. Marcus Ericsson, you got to see this kid's hairdo. He's like the Don King of Sweden. Marcus Ericsson, he is managed by Kenny Breck, was second, and Daisuke Nakajima, brother of Kazuki and son of Satoru, was third. Race 2, maiden win for Marcus Ericsson in British F3. This year he is competing on a regular basis in the Japanese F3 and was invited for this weekend by Raikkonen Robertson Racing. Now we come to West Allis, Wisconsin, IRL action from Milwaukee. Round 5 in the IndyCar Championship saw 5th different winner this season as Kiwi Scott Dixon took victory over pole sitter Ryan Briscoe from Australia. Dario Franchitti from Scotland had TomTom on his car as a sponsor but still could not find his way past Dario and Dixon and had to settle for 3rd. Your favorite driver, Miss Danica Patrick, is on a hot roll. After her 3rd place finish at Indy, she was 5th in Milwaukee and is now 4th place in the top American in the championship.
Oh, let me see your beauty when the witnesses are gone. Let me feel the moving like they do in Babylon.
A little Leonard Cohen there. Now we move to Indy Lights. First ever win for Brazilian Mario Romancini. Second was J.R. Hildebrand from Sausalito, California. Have you ever been to Sausalito, Mr. Rogers?
Many times. One of my best friends lives on a houseboat in Sausalito. Been there for like 30 years.
How about you, Mr. Fogg?
Been there a couple of times.
Very nice place.
Yeah,
very
it's all right. I have one of my favorite bars is in Sausalito.
Yeah, it's very nice. Australian V8 from Simmons Plains. Winner in race one was Garth Tender over another Holden driver, Russell Ingall. 26-year-old Rick Kelly, this was an interesting tidbit I saw. 26-year-old Rick Kelly, who finished 11th, becomes the youngest driver in the 50-year history of the Australian Touring Car Championship to start 100 rounds. Rick won the 2008 V8 Supercar Championship and is a 2-time winner at Bathurst race. And you know, this is one of the races around the world where I would like to go one day because I've been hearing about and reading about this race even before I got interested in Formula One, just through some magazines and all that. And it's in a pretty nice location, Mount Panorama. Would you like to go there, sir, and have a extra shrimp on the barbie?
If you're buying, I'm flying.
Yeah, the extra shrimp I'll buy. No problem there. No worries, mate. Okay, previous record was held by his brother and teammate, Todd Kelly. Race 2, Jamie Wincup was the winner over Will Davison, claiming his first podium finish was FC. You know, first we had DC, now we have FC. Fabian Coulthard. I think it's David's cousin or something
like
really?
That. Oh, really? Yeah. There is a relationship?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
Did you hit anybody?
No, not yet. Not yet.
Gosh.
MotoGP from Mugello. Jorge Lorenzo from Spain takes pole position in Valentino. Do you remember some years ago when we interviewed Ryan Briscoe and I asked him, what is your favorite track? And he said Mugello. And I was there last year in courtesy of Mo, our listener, Mo Kazim's dad. And what a beautiful track and what a beautiful setting. Very, very nice. And you should go there also. And yeah, I'm buying the extra gelato.
Excellent.
Yeah. Okay, MotoGP from Mugello. Jorge Lorenzo from Spain takes pole position in Valentino Rossi's country. And Casey Stoner riding a Ducati ends Valentino Rossi's run of 7 successive victories at Mugello. Jorge Lorenzo was second and Rossi third. And this was also Ducati's first win in MotoGP at Mugello, which is their home track. You know, the company is out of Bologna. Colin Edwards was highest place American rider and 6th on his Monster Energy Yamaha. Nicky Hayden was 12th for Ducati. Ray saw a wet start but finished in dry conditions. And in MotoGP, you don't switch tires, you change bikes, which is pretty interesting.
Well, that makes a little more sense, doesn't it?
Yeah. But, you know, they can say you have to change tires. But it's pretty interesting. They hop in and the bike is ready to go. They jump on. Yeah.
Maybe they should do that for pit stops in Formula One.
Jump from a McLaren to a Ferrari?
No. But instead of changing tires, they just jump into another car that's ready to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would cut costs.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Always thinking.
But man, I'll tell you what was impressive. Steven, did you watch any of the MotoGP
action? No, I didn't see any of the MotoGP.
I've watched some of it.
Okay. What was really very impressive was the last lap of the 250 race, which I, just my opinion, is a must-see if available on YouTube, the last lap of the 250 race.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There were at least 8 or 9 lead changes in the rain on the final lap, and it was just incredible. And most of the video was from a helicopter looking down, and it was like...
Frisson.
Frisson, molto bene, señor. The guy, Mattia Pessini, who won, he had a pretty decent lead going into the... let's say 2-3 laps to go. But then his fellow Italian, Marco Simoncelli, he closed up, and then on the last lap he takes the lead. And I thought dishes were done for Pessini. But he fought back, and then the other guy fought back in the rain. I mean, it is, you know, machismo upon machismo. And Nick Harris was excited and tossed. You know, Nick Harris, the guy who does the commentary, I like his work very much. And he was excited, and so was I. And I would like to hear from people if they have seen this, what their opinion is. From MotoGP to World Superbikes in Tuoli, Utah, Texas-sized total domination by Ben Spies, winning both races of the weekend, so which is very good. Winning is always great. Winning on home soil has to be the ultimate fantasy for a competitor, you know. What say you?
It's not one of my ultimate fantasies, but... That's
would you like to win a race in San Jose or in, let's say, Rouen?
Oh, wow.
Really? Okay. Good for you, sir. Okay, now we come to your favorite series.
Le NASCAR.
Okay, they were at the Monster Mile at Dover. Big news before the race was sacking of Dale Earnhardt Jr. His crew chief, Tony Urie Jr., who is also his cousin, so I think...
It's all in the family?
It's typical.
I mean, is there banjo playing when this is going on?
Yes, sir. David Ruderman started from pole in his Toyota, winner in dramatic and charging fashion. And I watched the last half of this race. This was very impressive. Jimmy Johnson over smoke, Tony Stewart. Monty was a solid 30th, and Scott Speed was 37th. What's so funny?
You know what? When is Monty going to realize this is really not exciting? Maybe I think he should go back to Indy racing, just like Dario did.
No, but see, it looks bad. 30th, okay? Like, first of all, it's a solid 30th.
It's a solid 30th.
Yes. But if
there's only 2 laps down.
But if you look at the results of the guys who finished normally behind him, people with far more experience in race wins than him.
Oh, now I understand.
You've got to look at big picture,
yeah. Yeah, but see, if he were in Formula One... He couldn't finish below 20th.
30th and You're solid, giving this guy some kudos.
Solid 30.
It's a solid 30 with a couch. And
you know, Jeff Gordon, a couple of years ago, went without a win all season.
I know.
Look how much, what a dry spell Daly is having. And he's with the best of teams.
Yeah, but he's not 30th. He's usually in the top 10.
Excuse me, it's a solid 30.
Solid 30. Yeah. Okay, that's fine.
He's not on shaky ground. He's on the and it's the monster mile. Most drivers get scared.
Really?
Yeah. Monty's looking more and more. Pretty soon he's going to be the size of Tony Stewart.
Yeah? Is he eating ice cream too?
Oh, I'm sure.
And hot dogs.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Favre, you have something to say?
No. It seems odd to me that he would sell for NASCAR when he's not competitive.
It's called money.
Yes. I get to drive fast and pull in a big paycheck. I'd do it.
And now we have a goodie bag for our listeners.
We haven't had a goodie bag in a while.
Yeah, Mo has been busy, you know.
Yeah.
You know what, I got to share this, okay? You know, we talk about cage rattling.
Yeah.
Cage rattling has arrived at my work about a month ago. You know, we opened at 8, I mean, we start at 8 o'clock, but we're not open for public dealing till 10, right? So, like, 4 weeks ago, a guy is seen wandering around in a suit, right? And most of our people are, you know, myself, and we're dressed California casual. So people are going up to him. So who are you? And he's like, well, I'm your new boss. So they just sent us a new chief operating officer. And
he wasn't wearing Bermuda shorts?
Oh, no. He's a corporate type of guy. So we expect some cage rattling. So it's exciting even at work these days. So I had my, you know, come to the boss meeting with him also. So we'll see. Big football, soccer fan. And I was very surprised to find out he has the time to watch European football on Justin TV. I said, you got to be kidding me. I watch Formula One on Justin TV. So there's a little connection there.
That's sort of, maybe he's your cousin.
No, he's not my cousin.
Okay.
If he was my cousin, I would be number two there.
Dale.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, where are we now? Okay, a moment in motorsport history. Okay, today we're going to look at some dates in motor racing history, month of May. And since the month of May is history, so we're looking at May history. We shall start with May 10. Quick Nick, Mr. Heidfeld, appeared in this world on this day in Mönchengladbach, Germania in 1977. Do you think he will survive beyond this season in Formula One?
Well, yeah, you know, I think he will because he's probably going to be a good deal. He's working well with the team. I think right now the car is the biggest problem. BMW's got bigger problems than drivers, right?
Very
now.
True. Very true.
And they may be looking for a first driver at the end of the season, so they may not want to cut him loose.
Not only that, but they're not going to attract, you know, the Alonso type of driver with a car like that right now. It's just not going to happen.
So who will attract Alonso?
Oh, I don't know.
Give me a name.
I refuse because I want Alonso to stay at Honda.
They may be that.
He's going to be at Briatore next season.
Yeah, Renault might be known as Flavio F1.
Yeah,
next year.
Powered by Renault.
Yeah, powered by, I don't know, Supertech or Mechachrome.
Those are all dead.
Elisabetta, his girlfriend, you know, maybe he'll have the engines in her name. Who knows? Okay, we move on from May 10th to May 13th. Birth of Formula One World Championship in 1950 at Silverstone. And Bernie wants to leave this nursery of motor racing history for a fistful of dollars. I say hang him high.
Keep up the good work, Master.
Thank you. May 18th. German town of Mönchengladbach welcomes another baby in 1967 who would become a Grand Prix driver, or Grand Prix fahrer, as the natives would say. Heinz Harald Frentzen. I remember when F1 was on ESPN, Reese Davis, the ESPN Sports Center guy, he used to go at Heinz Harald Frentzen all the time.
You know what? I used to like Hans Harald Frentzen I thought he was a pretty good driver.
Yeah, he was a pretty good guy.
But just never could cut the mustard.
Yeah.
But at least...
Throw the ketchup.
Didn't he get Michael Schumacher's old girlfriend?
No, it's the other way around.
Oh, Michael Schumacher got his girlfriend?
Yeah, after she said Wiedersehen to...
Auf Wiedersehen.
To Heinz Harald Frentzen. Hmm. But, you know, Heinz Harald Frentzen, what I will always... If I ever meet get to interview him or Patrick, and I'm going to ask him what I read. Because, you know, a lot of things you read, and you read for years and years and years, and then you hear from the other party, it's a different story. I've read a few times, and even Derek Dilley mentioned in the interview, the first time he drove, his feedback to engineers was not very good. So Patrick had says to him, "Hey, are you sure you're a Formula One racing driver? That's very embarrassing." So I would like to ask these. And of course, it will be one of the last questions.
The last question.
So if the interview is terminated, we have 10 questions already. I'm very careful about those such questions. Okay. And, you know, he not only had issues with Patrick Head, he also had issues with Dr. Wolfgang Ulrich, because he was in Audi and there was some schmazel at one of the races.
Oh, I remember. Yeah, I think they fired him.
Yeah.
Yeah, they went, yeah, fine.
They also said, auf Wiedersehen.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll see what's happening. And also, you know, I would like to thank Ms. Eva Maria Feith. She is the PR lady for Audi. She sent me an email saying that certain time on Thursday I can come to the Audi Media Center. They will have a get-together with all the drivers.
Okay, so. this will be after you've been to the Peugeot Media Center.
I would like to meet Miss Daphne again.
There we go.
And Dr. Mark Farrington, yeah. And Peter Briggs, you know what I'm talking about.
Okay. I just want to see the Peugeot first, Audi
second. First would be Henri Pascarola, because I have a
problem. Oh, I'm talking about the podium.
Party?
Yeah.
He also has a Peugeot. You know, he's going to run a Peugeot also.
Oh, good for him. Oh, yeah. No, yeah, I think that's terrific.
Yeah. I'll let him know that you have such sentiments for him.
I do.
Yeah. So you'll have some stale fromage when you visit
there him. We go.
Okay, now we go to May 19. One and only win for Olivier Panis. And I will have access to him also. Because he's with one of the teams that
you
I have access to.
Talk about Monaco and...
Monaco and Canada and other things, you know. Only win for him, for Ligier Mugen in the Street of Monte Carlo in 1996. And interestingly, it was in this race, DC, David Coulthard, finished second, wearing Michael Schumacher's helmet.
Why is he wearing Michael?
I kid you not, because he had some problem, misting problem or some visor problem shortly before the start. And, you know, him... And Michael has had so many, you know, they had been contacts again and again.
They're such good friends.
Yeah. They've had close contacts over the years. So he went up to him and took care of Binef.
That's hard to believe.
No, it's true, because I saw a picture of a McLaren at Monaco with the Michael Schumacher helmet. I said, what the hell is this? I thought somebody did a Photoshop, but it was in a credible magazine. Then I read the caption. So stranger things have happened. May 21st, first Grand Prix win from Juan Manuel Fangio in 1950, same place as Panis, Monaco. May 22nd, in 1966, Grand Prix debut for McLaren and driven by Bruce McLaren himself, and also at Monte Carlo, because around May, it's one of the major races in that month. May 23rd, it's a big day. You want to read this? What are you trying to say here?
No, go ahead. Okay. This is a very big day.
No, this is
for
a major.
Me and for you. Rubinho.
Yeah, for a lot of people. May 23rd, wild horses could not pull him away from Formula One as Rubinho celebrated his 37th birthday on this day. We wish him many more to come and hopefully a few more wins. He's a good guy.
Yeah, no, but that's my birthday as well. Oh, I'm really disappointed that you did not remember that, Nasser.
No, it's coming up next.
It is. I don't think so.
It says here, May 23rd, a legend of podcasting was born
in. Now we're talking.
Born in America.
There we go. France, now I feel better.
Who went to France as a kid and became a turncoat, and he's now back in the land of hot dogs and milk and honey. Are you trying to escape again?
I'm trying.
You're trying?
Yeah.
Okay, let me know when you succeed. Send me a postcard from Pau or Angoulême.
I'm going.
Okay. May 29th, a privately entered Lotus by Rob Walker and driven by Stirling Moss gives Colin Chapman his first Grand Prix win as a constructor. And Colin Chapman, as proud a man as he was, he had to wait another year before his own team would win a race, and that would come at Watkins Glen. And this is my favorite. Finally, quote of the week comes from Eddie Jordan about his time in Grand Prix racing, and this is taken from his interview in Motorsport magazine, and I quote, "You could refloat the Titanic on the egos in Formula One," end of quote. And this was before Nelsinho boarded Flavio's love boat. Thank you for listening, folks. It's time now to enjoy some more Indian summer. Ta-ta!
Mass, another outstanding Motorsports Mundial. We're going to take a quick break and come back for the wrap-up. So we'll be back in 60 seconds.
I'm Frederick Furbish, and you're listening to F1 Weekly.
Your feedback is important to us. Please contact us through info@f1weekly.com. You are listening to F1 Weekly.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host, and now we'll go right to the wrap-up. San Francisco Formula One group meeting again this weekend. Overtime bar and grill in beautiful downtown San Francisco. Go to the sff1.com website and check it out. Marin Karting is proud to organize and support the 2009 Jim Russell Northern California Rotax Series. Marin Karting offers CRG carts, engines and parts for all carts, engine service, driver coaching, and trackside support to Northern California carters. For more information, contact Marin Karting at 415-898-0999 or marinkarting.com. We want to mention our MySpace and Facebook and Twitter sites. Just do a search for F1 Weekly and add us as a friend. If you'd like to advertise or cross-promote with our website or podcast, email us at info@f1weekly.com. I want to thank everybody who listens to the program. Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, recording and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.